minutes for Thursday, March 24th, 2005. If the committee assistant would please note that Senator Gordley is excused, and also Senator Winters, and Senator Gordley should be returning here shortly, probably within the next 30 minutes. We are going to go first to the Oregon Youth Authority, so I will open a hearing on SB 5530. I will have the analysts give an explanation. We went through several different ranking processes, and so she will give the explanation of where we are now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. As you will remember, when the Youth Authority brought forth their program priority list, they had bundled, is my technical term, bundled various pieces of programs together to establish certain programmatic priorities. So looking at a continuum of services across the agency, bundling those, and then establishing priority levels based on that. When the subcommittee attempted to do the high, medium, and low ranking, it became apparent that trying to unbundle those and rank the pieces within those bundles across the agency ended up in a priority listing that really didn't make much sense programmatically. And so what was agreed to yesterday was that we would look at the more traditional program definitions, basically 9 of them in the agency, and that you would rank those on a scale of 1 to 9. And each member did that, turned that in to me. And so what you have in front of you is the composite ranking and the composite scoring for those 9 areas. Now, I will say, as you're looking at this, there may be some ways to slice some of these more finely, if you will. For example, when we look at county diversion, juvenile crime prevention, there's several program elements there that could be split out, but I believe that that's a discussion that we can have when we get into the phase two process more in depth. So I'll walk you through this ranking and show you how it came out. The first, in fact, everyone agreed on, the first priority was to pay the debt service. And this is the debt service on outstanding certificates of participation that were issued for the youth correctional facilities. It includes no new anticipation of debt service. It's just paying off existing debt. The second priority was the facilities. So the youth correctional facilities and the transition facilities are included in that line item. The third priority is the residential foster care and individualized community services. So those are purchased services for youth that are in the system or transitioning out of the system. The fourth priority was the parole and probation services. Fifth priority, county diversion, juvenile crime prevention, and including Multnomah County youth gang services. So basically those are payments to counties for either prevention for high-risk youth or youth who are already gang-involved. And that ranked as the fifth priority for the subcommittee. Then capital improvement and the program office tied for sixth and seventh priority. Then you get into the basic administrative functions as priority 8, and state government service charges was ranked as priority 9. Now, I understand in some agencies that state government service charge would not show up on the priority listing at all, so it's not not surprising, perhaps, that it's at the bottom of this list. But that is how the ranking ended up. Good.
Are there any comments from members of the committee? Yes, Representative Hanson.
I think this is pretty effective. We can get remove administration, state government charges, and the program office, and capital improvements, and we're there.
But it makes the department's recommendations maybe look a little better.
But any additional comments from
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Baker? Did we get full participation?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hanna, yes, we did.
Thank you.
Members, for the record, I have communicated to the chair of the committee that I believe that the department's ranking of those items, I actually preferred their earlier ranking system because I felt that that presented the more clear reality of how we would probably have to approach if we had to make any reductions in the agency. Clearly, although I may have ranked parole higher than I ranked county diversion and juvenile crime prevention programs, I'm not about to cut all county diversion and juvenile crime prevention programs before I start looking at least some reductions in parole. So, I mean, it's, the reality is with this few line items, is that if we do have to look at reductions, we're going to probably look at them within these line items and not be able to just move up from the bottom. Obviously, I don't think they'll let us not pay the state government service charges. It would be nice, but I don't think that's... I do have a BAM analyst in here. Yes, I do. A budget and management analyst. I don't think they're going to let us get away with not paying those charges. Okay. With that, are there any additional comments? With that, I am going to keep this hearing actually open on... I can keep some simultaneously open. I'm going to keep the hearing open on 5530 simply because the chair is not here and I do not know if she has any comments on this. And we, because the Attorney General is not immediately available and actually is testifying, I believe, with the chair on some bills in another committee, we will go on to the Oregon Judicial Department. So I will open the hearing on the Oregon Judicial Department, House Bill 5042.
Different than the one we have? Or?
No. Don't believe so.
You should be up and passed out at the last Friday to your offices.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, since I have not been in this subcommittee previously, and all of the subcommittees are doing is different, I would welcome your instruction as to what you would like from both me and from the agency.
Thank you very much. For the record, while I've been a member of this committee, I am not the chair of this committee,
and I'm trying to chair.
And I'm trying to follow the chair's practices in this committee, not the practices I would have if this was in another committee. So,
the practice to this point, this subcommittee is that the generally gone had LFO or the agency or together go line for line. And hopefully, you know, you can move rather quickly through there and then have members do their rankings, and hopefully there'll be rankings one through whatever programs they have and turn those in, and we'll get them back to you in the next day or so.
Okay.
And that's what we've done up to this point.
Okay. With those instructions,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could I ask... kind of the real big picture question, which is either how appropriate or how much authority do we have in terms of prioritizing a separate branch of government's activities?
Mr. Chair, would you like some assistance?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the authority of Ways and Means extends only to the allocation of resources. And to the line item designation within any budget bills. And so to that degree of specificity, you have the authority to do that. And the Chief Justice is in the room, and he can correct me if I have misstated that.
And Mr. Chief Justice, please come forward. For the record, this is obviously different from it would be for other divisions of state government. The Chief Justice represents the judicial branch of government, and as such, we can basically determine his allocation of funds, but we cannot, to a large extent, determine what his priorities are for spending those funds. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Chief Justice?
Mr. Chair, Wally Carson, Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court and Chief Administrative Head of the Judicial Department, I'd like to answer the question in two parts. Okay. And one is on the budget side, and you're absolutely correct, and that's what Ms. Lamont said, too. You are in total control of the budget. On how it's traditionally you have given us I won't say a lump sum because it's not that simple. And then we've allocated it according to what our needs are to do the whole list of things. Everything you see on the spreadsheet is what we're required to do. There is one aspect that doesn't appear in the budget. The other part of it is, in fact, you have. Traditionally, the legislature has prioritized, in a sense, all the criminal law stuff we do by creating A felonies, B felonies, C felonies, and so on. And while one might say, well, a C felony is still a crime and it ought to be equated with an A felony, that's not the way the structure has been built traditionally. We treat, as we believe the legislature treats, an A felony to be higher priority, more serious to the community at large. But that's your choice. You get to, when I was on the Criminal Law Revision Commission, we actually went through all the crimes and prioritized them in our today's sense, but equated them where they would stand. So the legislature can tell us that this is no longer, one, you can make it legal, but no longer is a priority as a crime. It isn't prosecuted and we don't have it. Or you can make it more serious or less serious, which is traditionally what the legislative role. So I'll move that aside. That's not a direct answer to us, but I associate myself, as they say, with the answer given by Mr. Lamont. As far as the budget is concerned, you have the dollars, and then we have the allocation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chief Justice. For a moment, Mr. Chief Justice, I will confer with counsel.
May I do the same?
I just got
elevated.
Is there an appeal process?
Yes, yes, it must be. It must be.
Mr. Chief Justice, could you bring your administrator come forward also? Ms. Kingsley? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My hope is fulfilled.
What we will do now is walk through each item, and the LFO analyst will give a brief explanation, and then
Mr.
if there...
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would recommend that the Chair, we accept the Chief Justice's recommendations with prioritization.
Representative Wisnett, this is meant as a friendly reply.
I don't know how we're going to prioritize. I mean, they've lumped it to number one.
So Representative Wisman, we will go through a relatively expeditious process. And then if we can reach consensus with the four of us here, or if Senator Gordley shows up, the five of us here, we will conclude the process. And the question that I'm going to ask the Chief Justice and Ms. Kingsley is for a reasonable lengthy, I shouldn't say reasonably lengthy. When I say reasonably lengthy, that sounds like a long time. And I wouldn't put any limitation on the Chief Justice, but an explanation of how you came to your priority rankings.
All right, let me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the priorities in part were established, we started doing this in 1990, 1991, when Justice Peterson was the Chief Justice at the time, And then we had a reason to do it again about 4 years ago when our budget was sagging in order to allocate within the budget. The budget was not given to us in terms of priorities, but we then prioritized. And Ms. Nancy Miller was the driving force for it as we entered the 2001-03 biennium. We went back to the trial court administrators, and you're familiar with those people, some are in the room, and our presiding judges and others, and ask them to prioritize the work we do. And you're familiar with a 16-item list that are familiar barrels or drums. We've identified what it is we do in kind of large or gross terms, and then the consensus was built on the priorities, and we used it in the 2001-03, tail end of 2001-03, to stop doing some things for 4 months period, and now they perform the same function for us. It's basically the same list, and as we explained during the 30,000-foot flyover of the phase one, that that will be the basis for us again on allocation of our time and resources. We will start with the most important priority one and then work our way down. And I think it's that complex or that simple. A judgment call based on a number of categories, and perhaps Ms. Fleck could do it in a little more detail, but it was the collective judgment of the 27 presiding judges and trial court, less than 25 trial court administrators. Ms. Fleck, may I, with your permission?
Yes. For the record, Kingsley Fleck, State Court Administrator. The Chief Justice has explained how the case priority orders were arrived at. They do emphasize public safety and children and family as the highest of the case types. Within the other priorities that are on the page, according to the instructions, things that were related either to the central government, assessment charges, administration of the central type services, those were not ranked. But other parts of, say, our administrative office that related to program administration or the appellate courts were. And then at our hearing on our phase one, when we were getting to this part, there was a question about why until we got into the case types were, you know, the appellate courts also ranked as one. And it's explained in central administration and the appellate courts how our reductions would be taken would depend on what happened essentially with the trial court work and programs and cuts there. While everyone apportions it, it really depends on what are the themes coming out of where the cuts are taken. So if you prioritize the case types and, for instance, no longer doing criminal, just say, you know, then that would affect how the appellate courts took their cuts, because if that case type went away, and same with administration, what support services went with that. As far as dollars and things went, these were on the way to caseload studies that associate how much of your resource dollars go to handling the volume of cases that you have to consider.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Hannah and then Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to take comments on the entire piece, or do you want to, are we going to do it line by line, or just take questions on the entire piece at this time?
I would take comments on the entire piece or on individual items if you want, and then I'm going to see if there is any consensus on Representative Wisnett's suggestion to accept the Chief Justice's recommendations.
I have a general question that I believe to be helpful to each one of us. That in our analysis of this and throughout the first phase, the primary difference between the Chief Justice recommended budget and the Governor's recommended budget is in the neighborhood of $24.6 million. Would you please go through those differences and maybe highlight briefly those line item changes?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I maybe can help with that. There are no line item changes because the governor because this is a separate branch of government, the governor made no recommendations as to how these reductions should be taken. So it is a lump reduction
lump
of 9% to their essential budget level.
For the basis of a clarification, though, too, is that the Chief Justice submitted his original budget to the governor. The governor, when he released his budget, forwarded the Chief Justice's budget, but then put a limitation on the amount of general fund dollars. Then since that time, the Chief Justice has also worked and submitted an essential budget level budget, which is the budget that we are about $24 million away from in terms of what the general fund allocation was in the governor's budget. So that's the $24 million. All of these figures here would be the budget numbers in the original budget. Are these the original numbers? These are the original numbers from the Chief Justice.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Essentially, the timing, you had a little bit of a discrepancy in the, you stated a little bit of a discrepancy in the timing. The agency went through the same budgetary exercise at the same time that all other state agencies did. There is, and it was an essential budget level developed, and then the Chief Justice recommended budget also included some policy packages.
Right.
The governor's recommendation is 9% below the number that you see at the bottom of this spreadsheet, which
right.
was their essential budget level. It wasn't a subsequent submittal.
As confusing as this sounds, the basic question is the Chief Justice believes that this, that what has been allocated in terms of general fund dollars, in terms of revenue, is $24 million, approximately $24 million, less than what he believes is necessary for his expenditures. Is that a fair
statement? That's a fair statement.
That's
sure.
a fair statement.
Yes, sir.
Representative Hanna, you had a follow-up, I think.
Well, the follow-up really, and I think we were driving down to this, the follow-up really, the policy packages that were included, and these terminologies get a little confusing because the Chief Justice's maintenance level budget, those policy packages are not included in this piece.
Let me clarify. There are essential packages that were included, and then in addition there are packages to spend money on new things. The essential packages are adjustments to the base budget, such as inflation and the cost of personal services and state government service charges, those kinds of changes. Those are included in this. The policy option packages, which are, for want of a better way to put it, new things that the chief would like to add to the budget, are not included in what you have in front of you. And we're not funded in the governor's budget either.
For the sake of the committee, in terms of the analyst here has much more experience with this than I do, is that in my 3 years in the Senate and my two sessions in Ways and Means, I have rarely seen, and this is not to mean a prejudicial statement, Mr. Chief Justice, due to the situation that we've been in, I have rarely seen committees add policy packages to budgets during this process. It used to be something they did in the 90s, but I've rarely seen them do them lately. So,
Abe,
yes, Representative Wilson.
So, you know, Representative Hanna brought out the sheet that your office provided originally on this was $284 million. Now, this one's
$274. That's total
funds.
You got
to go up here. Well, but the general fund, the general is only 46.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, that reflects the policy packages. What you have in front of you is the total Chief Justice recommended budget on the LFO analysis.
So that gives him his inflation for personnel costs?
No, let me try this again. and part of it is the difficulty in doing an analysis that's meaningful when you are comparing the Chief Justice's requested budget to the governor's recommended budget. The Chief Justice's requested budget, which is what our analysis is based on, includes all of the policy option packages, the new things that the Chief Justice was asking for. But for the purposes of what we are doing here, we are looking only at the Chief Justice's maintenance level, which is the essential budget level, which includes all of the adjustments necessary to maintain the current level of services.
Well said.
Okay. That's the 274.
Yes.
That gives the personnel increase, the PERS increase, the benefits increase, and all that, but no enhancement.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from the committee? Any additional comments from the Chief Justice?
No, sir. Maybe if I may, I'd ask the State
yes,
Court
Ms. Kingsley.
I don't have anything to add.
If we will stand at ease for a moment.
Thank you very much, Senator Devlin. Good afternoon, members of the committee. I understand we have a recommendation from Representative Lisnett before us. Would you please repeat that?
Yes, ma'am. And I talked to Representative Hansen and Representative Hanna, and we feel that this is a budget that's difficult to go through and say this should be moved up in this priority. And I think that, from what the Chief Justice has explained in your absence, is they've done this several years. And we would recommend that we accept their prioritization. I don't know how I could question some of his decisions and move things up.
Sounds like we have a consensus.
We do.
All right. Excuse me just a moment. Thank you again.
Thank you.
While we play musical chairs here. We appreciate your flexibility. Thank you.
We still have hearings open for this, and the hearing is still open for the petition.
All right. I'd like to call up we're going to do Senate Bill 5525, Public Defense Services Commission, and Mr. Roseanne. Peter Roseanne, thank you.
So, Ma, did you remind the chair that the other bill is open to?
No, I didn't. But if I we were going to.
And Ms. Lamont, would you walk us through?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'll remind you that you have the same situation in this agency that you just had with the prior agency, which is that it is part of the judicial branch of government. And that, again, as with the judicial department, that there was a recommended budget submitted that included policy option packages. What the governor did was to reduce their essential budget level by 9%, again, unspecified. What you have in front of you is the essential budget level without the policy option packages.
Questions or comments for Mr. Roseanne, Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I had missed the overview meeting on this budget, so possibly it was already answered. I'm assuming the other funds, the $1,159,000, would be the fees that are collected from people that you represent?
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, that is the application contribution program, the charges for the administration, a $20 fee, and then other assessments if the indigent has any money.
Was there any discussion in terms of whether it would be productive to raise that fee $5 or $10? We're just kind of scratching for any stone unturned.
I don't recall that specific. We certainly left no stone on, Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, no stone unturned. I know the The Judicial Department has been kind enough to administer the application contribution program. We've talked about how to make it work. It's been expanded out to all the courts, but I guess without sounding flippant, it's kind of the proverbial blood in the turnip. There's just not more money to get. There's so many agencies lining up, would be my answer at least. I'm happy to explore it further, but with various kinds of fees, including the court and fees, but then there's corrections and treatment fees, etc. So I think we're at about critical mass or as aggressive as we can be, in my estimation.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification, and I think the explanation in terms of that we received an old spreadsheet that actually had more items on it than the new spreadsheet. All of those are clearly policy packages except for I don't understand one, and I don't know if it's included back up higher up in one of the other line items or whether it was a policy package itself, and that was the post-conviction relief representation. Is that a policy package?
It is. Madam Chair, Senator Devlin, yes, it was a policy package to improve the delivery, make more cost-effective the delivery of post-conviction relief by establishing full state an office reporting to me as opposed to through the contract process.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. And with that, I think I understand the differences completely between the two sheets, so I'm fine.
I need to confer with staff for a moment.
I just got them.
Are there any other comments or questions on the budget before us? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Lamont, I my only confusion is that this first sheet, which I believe to be Chief Justice's recommended budget, and the one we just got, the first one was $187,799, and this one's $176,369.
It's just the. Madam Chair, members, that is because we eliminated the four policy option packages that had been included in the governor's recommended budget.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you pushed them into the three categories that are now there. But
no.
That's not the case.
No.
Representative Hanna, I'm aware that you need to leave by 1:45, so I want to stay with you for as long as you need to.
I'm fine. I thought they just squeezed it into three different categories, but it eliminated these four.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hanna.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How about the transferring positions? That's going to happen either way, right, or not?
Madam Chair, members, that's still a decision of the legislature. LFO would be recommending that you do that because it's a way of improving the delivery of those application contribution funded services, primarily the indigency verification, but it will be something that will be brought forward to you in work session as a recommendation.
So it that was my question, and it could be on this table too.
For the purposes, Madam Chair, members, and I apologize for not catching this before the first sheet went out. For the purposes of being consistent with how we are dealing with all of the other agency prioritization process, I eliminated those policy packages because you are not considering them in other agency budgets at this time. That does not mean that it will not be in front of you when you're in work session.
Senator Devlin.
Madam Chair, given our previous discussions and given the items that are on this list and given that there are really relatively few choices in these items, there may be some choice in terms of what our level of funding is, but I would say that a similar recommendation, I'd make the same recommendation that Representative Wisnett made on this list, is that we accept the recommendation priorities.
Is there agreement?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. I think we're ready to move on. Did you have further comments, Director?
No, Madam Chair.
Great to see you, Mr. President.
We are now going back to House Bill 5044, the Department of Justice. If Mr. Attorney General would like to join us. Good to see you again. And Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, what I passed out as a result of what you turned in to me yesterday, the scoring, the order on this one does not change all that much from what the agency presented, except that I have noted in the shaded one, consumer protection was the one that moved the most between what the agency proposed and what the result of your scoring or ranking was. And for those, I do actually have the ranges in front of me, if you wonder, but on the most part, they were relatively close.
Would you share the ranges, please, on consumer protection?
Well, on consumer protection, let's see, that the range there was the highest was a 2 and the lowest is a 14, so that one did have some significant differences.
Comments or questions?
Madam Chair, Doug, did we have full participation?
Yep. Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Hannah, that didn't sound very official, did it?
Madam Chair, does the Attorney General have any comments about our?
Madam Chair, for the record, Hardy Myers, Attorney General. I think the only comment I would have is in relation to the consumer protection ranking, because otherwise, as you've observed, as Mr. Wilson has observed, I think by and large the subcommittee's rankings and the department's rankings are pretty congruent. I would. Inasmuch as there presently isn't general fund in consumer protection, I'm not entirely sure what the practical significance might be of this change of order. But I was hoping in the rest of phase two, Madam Chair, members, to have some further discussion with the subcommittee about that program and about where we're heading in relation to given the present absence of general fund support. I wouldn't propose to do that now, Madam Chair, but I would want to do that when we reach that mission area of the department next week.
I think it would be helpful if you could just state briefly what the issues are, with the understanding that we will have a fuller discussion when we get to phase two.
Certainly, Madam Chair, members, as I think the subcommittee knows, beginning last the general fund support program was removed, and leaving it to operate solely on the basis of the so-called consumer protection education revolving account. Current projections, which we will be reviewing, I presume, again with the subcommittee, would show the exhaustion of that fund sometime close to the end of the next biennium, unless A, we are able to obtain some as yet unexpected recovery that would help nourish that revolving account, something beyond the projected revenues we now have for the revolving account over the next biennium, or 2, some measure of general fund is restored, or 3, some other funding source is identified and approved by the Assembly, or some combination of those 3. But the projections are relatively foreboding.
Senator Devlin.
Mr. Attorney General, from your comments, and Representative Hansen and I were here for your comments during the last session on impacts on this particular budget. Would it be fair to say that if you had some general fund contribution into this, that we wouldn't probably face that ultimate decision until the biennium after next? I mean, if we brought back some form of general fund contribution, I'm not saying to the former level, the combination of that general fund plus the proceeds that you currently have and those that you will receive in the future might put off us having to face this ultimate question a couple of bienniums. How to fund this long term.
Chair Gordley, Senator Devlin, depending on the amount, some restoration of general fund would at the very least push further forward and into the next biennium a point of reckoning. It would depend on the amount, I suppose, and we could try to work to calculate what different amounts would result in terms of differing times of extension of the program.
Madam Chair, if I could, I was just thinking of this in the sense of the reality would be if we don't give it some general fund appropriation, then we will face this dark reality if you do not have significant resources coming in, potentially either funding it substantially with general funds or more substantially with general funds in the next biennium, or cutting the program back even further.
Madam Chair, Senator Dillon, yes, that's correct.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In one attempt to give the legislature options on how to deal with this, I've introduced legislation that would increase the corporate filing fee by a nominal amount to support consumer protection. And kind of the nexus of that is that most of the consumer activity is directed at corporate activity. And on one hand, the corporations that are acting outside of the normal constraints should be helping to pay for the system. And then our good upstanding corporations that have good consumer practices, this would help to level the playing field for them vis-a-vis the bad apples. But I think it would be a long shot for that to occur. I haven't heard of overwhelming political support for it yet. But other than a constitutional problem, it's certainly a fine idea.
but I hope at least is there so far the phase two discussion.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Other comments or questions? Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Thank you very much. Are we going back to the youth authority?
Madam Chair, I just held the hearing open in case you had any comments on the Oregon Youth Authority. Since
I do not. Mr. Wilson?
I think we are done for the day.
All right.
We need to close some hearings. But
well, then, let's do that. I'm going to close the hearing on Senate Bill 5530, House Bill 5044, House Bill 5042, and Senate Bill 5525. Anything for the good of the order?
In your absence, Senator Devlin did an incredible job.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, we will start Department of Justice on Monday, Phase 2. So I think you have some Department of Justice's notebooks somewhere, either here or up in your office. I would suggest you bring them, but I think what we will likely be doing is replacing sections for Phase 2 instead of trying to put a page here and a page there. That will replace the whole sections at the beginning of the meeting or at the beginning of each portion of the department as we walk through. Please bear with the agencies as well as us as we sort of move through Phase 2. Phase 2 is sort of, we have instructions, but you've also asked for different kinds of questions and information that may come forward. Maybe, not every agency will probably be the same through Phase 2 in terms of the same format and the same information. because of the demands in terms of the questions you've asked and other items.
Madam Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Doug, is the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, is that going to be a one day and then do it the next day, or how? I didn't bring my schedule.
Madam Chair, Senator Representative Wisnett, that is scheduled for next Thursday. I haven't talked to the chair specifically, but it would be my recommendation that we you haven't heard the Board of Parole, so we all phase one and phase two and public testimony. And
Thursday.
On Thursday. It may come back in a week or after that or soon after, relatively soon after, for work session. It is a general funded agency, almost entirely general funded agency, so we need to find out from the co-chairs at what threshold they're willing to let things go forward.
Well, I wish everyone well. We've done some good work this week, and thank you very much to all of the agencies for your hard work as well. We're adjourned.